William Dowd is one of the great experts of spirits. He is author of the book Barrels and Drams, The History of Whiskey and Jiggers and Shots. He joined us the last time to talk specifically about whiskey, but you know what? Why stop there? The book begins with Dowd's personal overview of the spirits world and then went into the history of the very storied spirit of whiskey. It is summer. It is officially summer, so we thought we would talk a little bit about the spirit of rum this morning and others, and it's a great pleasure to welcome our good friend Bill Dowd back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, and I appreciate you redoing the green room since I was here last.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yes, very impressive. Very nice.
Just for you.
Well,
yes.
It's the next step is to then have a bar in there, and then you come in and do your thing whenever you can. Ray Graff is with us as well because it's contractually obligated that whenever I do a segment like this, I have to have Ray with me.
I have a good agent.
Yeah, excellent. Well, welcome. The last time we talked about whiskey, this time we were talking specifically about rum.
Correct.
And what is it about rum that makes it a more seasonal beverage per se?
I think it's probably because rum, although it's created worldwide, seems to be in warm weather climates, the Caribbean, in the South Pacific, and so forth. So I think people who don't drink rum all the time think about it when they go on vacation. It's that sort of thing. Plus, rums in general blend beautifully with seasonal fruits. It's just a summertime drink, although some of the high-end ones are perfect any time of year for sipping alone.
What is, now tell us what rum is made of and how we get it.
Okay, there are two types of rum. Rum industrial, the French spelling, which is made from molasses, which is globally accepted as probably 98% of distilleries make rum that way. The other is called rum agricole, which is made from cane sugar. Molasses comes from cane sugar, so in effect it skips a step.
Cut the middleman.
Yeah, that's it. And it's mostly made in the French West Indies, particularly Martinique. That's about the only difference in that. There are many types of rum, but those are the two methods for creating rum.
Now, we have, you have brought us some to sample, and we'll do that in a moment. And for that, we thank you. But it's interesting to
me because— Wait till you taste them before you thank me.
When you go to the rum section of your store, whatever you call them, in whatever state you live in, it is it's fascinating to me of the color variation of rum. It seems to be a beverage that really the color, it can be clear, or it can be as dark as anything, and have that very molasses color as you mentioned.
That's correct, and we'll be seeing. You'll be seeing, and your listeners will be hearing us sample three different types: a light rum, a dark rum, and a clear rum. Most of that has to do with the number of times you've distilled it, run it through the distillation process, or how long you've aged it, and what interaction it has with a charred barrel, just like whiskey.
Yeah.
So the less you distill, the clearer it is, or the opposite?
The opposite. And just some of you who may have heard the last session we did, I had a white lightning that Ray just reminded me before we went on the air.
We discussed that afterwards.
It's an acquired taste. You'll find that this thing that looks like white lightning that I bought called Banks Rum actually is not like that. So you can't think of it in terms of whiskey when you look at color. Okay. It's entirely different.
Yeah. So where would you like to begin?
Well, I'd like to begin with, first of all, I brought three different, distinctly different rums. I brought one called Sarayas Don Q. It's an añejo, which just means old and aged. It's kind of my nickname. And that is a rum from Puerto Rico, where Bacardi, which is the world's largest selling rum, also is made.
Yes.
I brought another called Ron Miel Guancho, which is a more aged Spanish rum made in the Canary Islands, actually, which are owned by Spain. And the third I brought is called Banks Rum. And it is a mix of Caribbean rums from Trinidad, Guyana, the Barbados area, and so forth. And that's a nice blend. That's the clear one. So I think what we'll do, because these are distinctly different, we're going to start with the lighter of the two colored rums. This is the Don Q and Añejo.
Now, when you say aged, what are we talking about? Like roughly how long?
You're usually, with rums, you generally, unless you're talking about a really high premium rum, you're talking in terms of months as opposed to years.
Okay.
But up to a year, usually.
Okay. And what is the advantage of the aging?
The advantage of the aging is the same as it is in wine, whiskey, or anything else. You have a chemical reaction between the wood in which you're aging this particular spirit and the spirit itself, which starts out clear. And that's where it gets some of its color. It gets some of the woody notes, peppery taste, again, depending on the type of wood you're using.
And that happens more quickly. So, again, you're talking about a period of months as opposed to years.
Correct. And you're also talking in great numbers about dollars. The longer it ages, the more it's not on the market, and the more time you're not making money. Mm. So rums tend to move very quickly because rum distillers usually, with the exception of Bacardi or something of that sort, are not as big as spirits distillers.
Ah, so they're hard up for cash.
They need their turnaround time.
Yeah.
Well, and they're also in a hurricane belt, so you better get it in before the next storm, for God's sake.
Fair enough.
All right,
that's one of the favorite rum cocktails, by the way. It's called the Hurricane.
The Hurricane, yes.
Oh, I could tell you stories. Yeah.
I hope you. I hope you will later, Ray.
Here we go.
All right.
Now this, even though it's an añejo, which usually means it's fuller bodied, I find
añejo
pleasant but still light on the light side.
Mm.
You get the different notes in there? Any spiciness, pepperiness?
There is an initial hit, isn't mm-hmm. there? But then it smooths out.
Right. That's the añejo type, which means aged, and it's aged to the point where a lot of the harshness is gone from it. A lot of the cogeners, which are the bitter parts,
mm-hmm.
those things just leach out in the chemical process, somewhat in the evaporation process, because you always lose a little bit in the barrel, called the angel's share, which I always thought is a pretty good one.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's interesting how it hits the tongue, because it does. There's that bit of a blast, and then it goes down rather smooth.
Ultimately, I would say fairly light.
Yeah.
It feels light.
Yeah, mm-hmm. very nice. All right. Well.
Okay.
This one
now
has a beautiful bouquet.
This one is honey added. It's a natural honey.
And this is the darker of the
three. This is the darker of these, of all three, yes. It's the darker through. This is the one called Ron Miel, M-I-E-L. And it's from, as I say, the Canary Islands, from a distiller who's been around since 1884, so I think they have it right.
Yeah.
And this one, interestingly enough, though, is only 40 proof compared to the one you just had, which is 80 proof, which is what most spirits are. So I'm sorry to I'm sorry to disappoint
this
anyone.
This show may get pulled over at any time. You know how fast you were going, Mr. Donahue?
Okay.
This one really has a beautiful
aroma. Yeah, it's very nice.
Aroma.
Now, right. You may have noticed on the Don Q, the first one you tried, a little touch of sweetness, which almost was honey-like.
Yes.
Now, this one has honey added, so that should come out even a little more.
Now, is that cheating a little bit by adding something to it?
No, it's like the flavored vodkas or whatever case may be.
No.
They do the same thing with rums. If you look at something like Bacardi or Crujean, which most people will unfortunately pronounce Cruzan, but it's Crujean, made in St. Croix.
Yeah.
And the people who live there are called Crujeans. They have, let's say, 21 different flavored
Bacardi rums. Limon.
Oh, there you go.
Hello.
You know,
home bartender's hint, if you are making a daiquiri and don't have any fresh lime, use Bacardi Limon.
It works. Yes, it does,
so
indeed.
So this is only 40 proof.
Correct. That doesn't mean you can drink twice as much of it.
No, but how do they make that? Isn't the standard sort of 80, 85 proof for most of this
generally
stuff?
Speaking, yes. You put more water in it.
Oh.
You put more other things in it. Because most things are distilled and aged at about 75% alcohol, which translates, you just double the number to get the proof. So it becomes 150 proof. You water it down because not many people are going to buy 150 proof.
151.
Unless they like Brookladdock scotch or something of that sort.
No,
their motto is because we can. So, by the way.
Well, this is very nice.
It's very sweet.
Yeah,
though. You could put this on a muffin, you know? it's very
nice.
Sweet.
I hadn't thought of that, but there's always tomorrow's breakfast.
A nice alternative to a port, perhaps.
Yeah.
With a cigar
mm-hmm.
by the fire in your smoking jacket.
Which is what I do. Have a cigar right here.
Right.
Smoking jacket. This is said by a man wearing a Michael Strahan jersey.
I wear a fez, too, most of the time when I get around the house.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. That's what they call it.
Well, rums are also conducive to stories, I've found out over the years.
Yes.
And
Well,
I tell you a quickie, if you like. We'll try some of this.
Like church again.
Yeah, that's right. Back to my...
You can try some of that. One of the worst rum drinks I had was in the aforementioned St. Croix. I was there to visit the Crujean Distillery, which at one time was the only distillery on St. Croix, but a new one has just about been completed now. There's another new one in Puerto Rico. So they're not letting the hurricanes bother them at all. And... So I was there to visit that, but someone said, make sure you go see the rainforest. And I thought, well, this is an island that's rather bereft of vegetation because they had a climate shift about a generation ago that dried up 5 of the 7 rivers on the island, which also meant that they had to start importing their molasses because they couldn't grow enough sugarcane and convert it to molasses.
Wow.
But I thought, okay, it's a rainforest. We'll go see it. So I teamed up with a couple other writers, and we went there. And it was the worst-looking rainforest imaginable. It was just a scroungy-looking thing. But they said, but while you're there, there's a great place that serves something called Mama Juana, which is Spanish for Mother Jane. Mama Juana is a special drink.
Sister.
Only served there, yes. And they said, and while you're there, don't forget to see the beer-drinking pigs.
I beg your pardon?
So with all that, and I thought I was back in college. I used to date. Never mind.
But, hey.
It's the rum talking. So anyway, we went there, and this was a terrible, straggly little rainforest. But we got to this place, and there was all of a sudden there's a sign. There's an opening there.
And where was this again? I'm sorry.
This is in St. Croix.
In St. Croix, okay.
In the American Virgin Islands. And a stocky, blonde-haired woman of indeterminate age but of commanding presence said, okay, here's the deal. $3 admission per person, $1 a can for the beer to give to the pigs, and $5 if you want to take video. Apparently she had been cut off from civilization, didn't realize that digital cameras take video, and you can't really tell, but that was okay. So we purchased the beer, which turns out to be O'Doul's non-alcoholic beer.
Well, that's good. The pigs like that.
It was good. They said that they were actually wild boars, tusks and all. They just called them pigs. But apparently their parents, the pigs' parents, that is, used to drink real alcoholic beer.
Mm.
But the PETA people reached into St. Croix and complained about it. So they now give them O'Doul's. And the deal is they have the big tusks, but their teeth don't begin until way back in their mouth. So you can stick your hand in the front of their mouth with the beer can, which we did after a few tentative tries. They clamp down on the thing, guzzle it, spit out the can, and look for another. So after a while, that's
kind of like you, right?
This is taking a very ugly turn, I must say.
I'm sorry about being personal, but, you know, if the can fits.
Go ahead.
So anyway, after one of our number stood in the wrong direction, got doused by the beer, we decided to go into the club itself, called the Domino Club. This is where the Mama Juanas were.
Yeah.
And this is a place with 3 thatched huts stuck together. And it looked like if somebody fired a shot there and the authorities were called, within about 7 minutes, you could make it disappear and look as if nothing had been there. And there were a couple of people sitting at the bar who looked as if they had been there for a very long time.
Called those news meetings.
Jacqueline, the woman I mentioned before, turns out to be the manager of this and the supervisor, the only other employee there. And we said, we want to try Mama Juana's. And she said, okay, here they are. And we said, well, what are they? And she said, it's rum and some herbs. And I said, well, what kind of herbs? She said, just never mind, it's herbs. You mean proprietary? She said, it's just none of your business. He said, well, that is proprietary. And she said, and don't chug them. So actually, we did. And it was the vilest stuff. It was a Mama Don't Wanna. It was absolutely hideous. So, so we left there wiser and about $8 less in each of our pockets, counting the pig admission, the beer buying, and so
forth. Counting the pig admission.
So that's what I say. Rum leads you to evil places.
So it's a lovely story,
Bill. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Right up there with Kinky's closing joke on Monday.
Now we're gonna
the love in the room.
Now we're gonna try this, but as they do in commercial television, we're gonna do it. But first, we're going to take a very short break. We are talking to Bill Dowd as our guest. He is a spirits expert. We are talking about rum this morning. We have one more to try. And And maybe we'll hear more about farm animals and alcohol.
Dear WAMC.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Bill Dowd is our guest. He is the editor of the book Barrels and Drams, The History of Whiskey and Jiggers and Shots. However, we are talking about rum this morning, and we are talking about the summertime pleasures of rum. Recently, I was on vacation, I guess, in April, and family vacation, and throughout the Caribbean, and wherever you go, they offer you rum, and in one particular place, they were referring to it as "Would you like happy juice?" And it worked.
French Guiana, right?
Weren't lying to you.
No, they weren't. They weren't lying. But it was a very light beverage. So the final one we have here again is
the brand is Banks. B-A-N-K-S.
Okay. Yes.
This is an 86 proof rum that is a blend of barrel aged rums from Jamaica, Trinidad, Guyana, Barbados. And my wife just discovered this because I let her taste a lot of these things because she has an excellent palate and she's very honest about things.
And what'd she think?
She loved this.
Okay.
And she is now... She asked that I not pour a lot for you guys because I'm taking the bottle home.
Oh, but you're not leaving the bottles?
That's
kind of a guest to you.
I could leave one bottle and two straws, but anyway. So you might want to try this one. We've tried it.
It was your first band, wasn't it? One bottle and two straws?
Right, you are.
Okay.
Here we go.
Well, your wife has exquisite taste. That's great.
Well, we've been married 40 years, so that proves
it. Yes, indeed. Indeed it does. I like that. What about you, Ray?
Yeah.
That is entirely different.
It is.
From the other two.
Now, we are as we would tend to do, we're doing shots of the rum this morning.
That's right.
Yeah, this morning. As opposed to most mornings when we're
or
just
this
down
afternoon,
the bottle,
who knows
right,
what
yeah.
happen, right?
But give us a sense of we think so much of it as a mixer.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were to have these in our arsenal,
right.
How would we incorporate them into various?
Right. Well, my first suggestion would be to get less expensive rums.
To mix. Yeah, like anything.
Because, it's like with tequila. Jose Cuervo Gold is fine for a margarita or something of that sort, but there's some really high-end tequilas that you would drink just over an ice cube or two.
Yeah.
Same thing with rum. Same thing with any spirits, actually. But these in particular, Bacardi Light Rum is very good. But what a lot of people don't do, and I would suggest they try it, is whatever proportion of rum you like in your drink, make it half light, half dark. They mingle beautifully when you're using them with fresh fruit juices, little simple syrup. It just makes a big difference.
Mm.
But again, it's such an individual thing, and there are so many types of rum.
Yeah.
I judged an international rum competition a few years ago, and I was surprised at, first of all, the number of rums you could get into the country for a competition that they can't get in for sales because it's extremely restrictive. But they came from places such as Australia, Mauritius, Nepal, and I start defying people to tell me where some of those places are.
How is the Nepalese?
It's very good.
Yeah,
because it's made from imported molasses. So all you need to know is the distilling process.
Mm.
So you think, do they grow sugarcane in the Himalayas? No. In St. Croix, as I mentioned before, that used to be a big sugarcane island. It's not. They use Guatemalan molasses now. Because that's a very good one. Brazil exports a lot of molasses.
Are there any good domestic rums?
Yeah, there are quite a few. Actually, almost any one I've ever tried made in America is good because American hygiene rules for distilling make a big difference. You can get another rum, for example, just by comparison, Cachaça, which is a Brazilian rum.
Mm.
And if you get a high-end one, it's superb, but you have to be a little bit careful because their hygiene rules in the handling of distillates, not as strong as ours. So you can get some pretty bad stuff.
And the alcohol doesn't kill everything.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, only the drinker eventually.
Right.
But, something's going to get you, so it might as well be rum.
Okay, well, that,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. And rums have been popular in lore. Hemingway did the daiquiri proud.
Yes.
Actually, his was double the amount of rum. That's what they called his nickname. Was, you probably know, was Papa. They called it a Papa Doble daiquiri because it was double the amount of rum. And if you just saw Hemingway and Gellhorn on HBO, it was about his wilder days at La Floridita, a famous nightclub in Havana. And they were downing daiquiris all over the place there. But it became very popular in America through his magazine articles and through tourism and pre-Castro.
Well. Yeah. Yes. Do they still make the Planter's Punch these days? Do they...
I see it in the books, but I doubt that very many bartenders can make it.
My folks used to make that.
If you find an older bartender, their eyes light up when you order an old-fashioned drink. That's a big difference. But nowadays, well, a very quick example. A story I wrote about the daiquiri called From Slick to Slushy and Back. And it's on my BillDowd.com website under Spirits Notebook, plug, plug. But you can look there, and it just simply starts out, "It's such a warm evening, I think a daiquiri would be nice," said the lady of a certain age to the very young cocktail waitress. "Oh, I'm sorry, we don't serve frozen drinks," was the reply. "Young lady, a proper daiquiri is not a frozen drink," the lady responded icily. And that's what happens. Everything is stuck in a blender. That doesn't have to be. That's great if you want to like Puerto Rican ices or Guyanese ices or something of that sort. But the drinks themselves, no, you need fresh juices. You need freshly made simple syrup. Really easy to do. 2-to-1 water to sugar. Nothing to it.
We've been talking about rum this morning, and you can find out more information about all the rums that we talked about, as well as much, much more on Bill's website. It's BillDowd.com, and that's D-O-W-D, BillDowd.com. And the name of Bill's book is Barrels and Drams, The History of Whiskey and Jiggers and Shots, that he edited. And again, just go to BillDowd.com.
It's working.
One more shot. And
would you like to? It's good thing I didn't have a fourth.
It's a good thing we only have 3 minutes left in the show. Bill, it's always a pleasure. So what are we going to talk about next time? What would be appropriate?
It could be almost anything, but as we go into fall, we might talk about more entertaining drinks for parties, for punches, for the holidays.
I'm plenty entertained by all this.
I'm sure you are, but I'll see what I can come up with.
All right. Well, we look forward to that, and Ray and I will clear our schedules for that. Bill, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Pleasure
Thank
to
you
be
very
here.
Much.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Bill.